Hi, this is Scott Stanley. Another podcast on Revelation as we continue to explore the deep things of God. I think as these podcasts progress, they're going to become deeper. And I believe, at least for me, they become more and more interesting as I'm able to apply it to today, to my own life, and what's happening, and as I see the universal church and the things they're saying, and realize, you know, this great apostasy is a fact, it's scriptural, it continues to the second coming. So, we're looking at Revelation 17, and there is something about this chapter I want to show you. I'm going to kind of shift gears a little bit. And what I want to do is go to Revelation chapter 1. And again, I'm keen on chapter 17. But we're going to pick up some information in Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to be. And he sent and signified it through his angel unto his servant John, who bare record or testified of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So, when I began this podcast, this was one of the verses I read. And I want to read again verse 1 the way I stated it previously. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, God gave to Jesus to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. His servants being John, one of them. And he, God, sent and signified it through his messenger, Jesus, unto John. Now, when you read chapter 1 of Revelation, it's obvious, if you'll read this whole chapter, Jesus is the one who has come to John. And John sees Jesus. And Jesus begins to open up the book of Revelation to John. But I want to go back to this verse again. I want to read this again. And what if we read it like this? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to be. And he, Jesus, sent and signified it through his messenger to John. Now, honestly, when I first began reading the book of Revelation, that's how I took it. And what I want to show you right now is that both are true. Whether you want to say that God gave it to Jesus, who gave it to John, and then Jesus gave it to his servant who gave it to John. If you look at Revelation 17, verse 1, there came one of the seven messengers which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. This isn't Jesus. This is one of the messengers who poured out the last of the seven vials. So you see, that also fits in Revelation 1:1. We've got God giving it to Jesus. Starting in chapter 17, we see another messenger who we'll find out later is calling this the testimony of Jesus. He is giving you the testimony of Jesus. From the Father to the Son to John, but here it's from the Son to a servant to John. Now, how can that be? What does it mean? How can we begin to understand this? Well, to understand it, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 11. And in Romans 11, there is a prophecy given about the end time. And I'm going to read this to you in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, let's not lose our place here, but let me make a point about Israel. And to do so, I want to read from Romans 2, and this is actually talking about a Jew, but we're going to see this also using the word Israel. But Romans chapter 2, verse 28, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, looking at that word Jew from God's standpoint, he isn't looking at a literal, physical, born in the 12 tribes Jew. He's looking at someone whose heart has been circumcised and calling them a Jew. Look at this in Romans 9, starting at verse 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now, it's obvious when he says according to the flesh, he means literally Israelites. Literal people, literal Israelites, they're my kinsmen according to the flesh. Verse 4, who are Israelites, literal Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, whose over all God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God has taken not effect, for they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. What does he mean? Again, it's the circumcision of the heart. Children who enter into the promises of God. You're not just a literal Israelite, but they're spiritual Israelites because they're spiritual Jews. And when I look at, again, verse 6, Romans 9, 6, not as though the word of God has taken not effect, for they are not all spiritual Israel, which are of literal Israel. So therefore, when we're reading in Romans chapter 11, and let's go back and look at this again. Let me start at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. Blindness, in part, has happened to literal Israel. See, spiritual Israel is not blind. Blindness, in part of the reason, has happened to literal Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, and that Israel is spiritual. All spiritual Israel shall be saved, because it is spiritual Israel that is circumcised in heart. It's the circumcision of the heart that makes them, you even, a spiritual Jew. Spiritual Israel has accepted truth from God that literal Israel will not accept. So again, I'm looking at Romans 11. He says in verse 26, so all Israel shall be saved. All spiritual Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and he'll turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, right now, I mean, from what I have seen from other televangelists, they seem to have this fear that when you talk about literal Israel, spiritual Israel, that you're trying to say the church is now Israel. And that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying when in the scriptures we can read about a literal Israel, but those in literal Israel who will be saved into the kingdom have to become spiritual Israel to do it. They have to have their heart circumcised. And that circumcision comes from and through believing the cross. And we can get into those verses another time. I just want to make a point that all Israel will be saved, meaning all spiritual Israel will be saved. Romans 11:26, and then he quotes a verse out of Isaiah chapter 59. And here is the way Paul quotes it, and then we're going to go read this in Isaiah 59. And I want you to see the way Paul is interpreting this scripture. And remember, all this points back to Revelation 17 to give us a better understanding of it, believe it or not. Again, Romans 11:26, so all spiritual Israel shall be saved, as it is written, Isaiah 59:20-21, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, what is he talking about? Well, if I go to Isaiah 59:20, the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Now, Paul, again, he wrote, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer and go to Jacob. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. Paul has already, in his mind, taken the step. The Redeemer shall come to Zion first, and then to Jacob. That is what he is saying in Romans 11:26. There shall come out of Zion a deliverer to Jacob. Isaiah 59:20. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and then to them that turn from transgression in Jacob. So why say Jacob versus Israel? I mean, what are we talking about? Because if you remember the story of Jacob, when he learned Esau was on his way to meet him. And Esau was greatly offended by what Jacob had done, he believes, in stealing his birthright. So Jacob, as he's preparing the night before, if you'll look at Genesis 32, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And in Hosea 12, 3 and 4, that man is referred to as an angel, a messenger. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against this angel, against this man, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let thee go, except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, your name. And he said, wherefore is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Who do you think he saw? He saw the Savior. He saw the Son of God. The messenger of God was wrestling with Jacob. And it is a symbol, it is a type of literal Israel today wrestling with Jesus Christ in their mind, wrestling with, is he the Savior? Is this a lie? Could he really be Messiah? They wrestle with that. When they hang on and not let go, he blesses them and changes their name to Israel. Israel, he shall rule as God. Israel. So he had his name changed after wrestling with the angel. And if you'll look, if we're in Genesis 32, 31, as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him. And he halted on his thigh. This helps make more sense of Micah 4. See, in Micah 4, verse 6, in that day, saith Jehovah, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that's driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and Jehovah shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. So that halting on the thigh, and see, that's exactly what happened to Jacob. He clung to the angel, he clung to the Savior, had his name changed to Israel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And the Lord says, well, I'm going to make them that halted a remnant. So that is what is meant in Isaiah 59. Again, Isaiah 59:20, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, which is the church, first. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob and become Israel, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Jehovah. My spirit that's upon thee and my words which I've put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith Jehovah, from henceforth and forever. So Paul is quoting that in Romans 11. Go again, turn again to Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to literal Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all spiritual Israel shall be saved, as it's written, there shall come out of Zion, out of the church, Christ, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from those who haven't accepted Christ yet, Jacob. They haven't wrestled with the angel. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. So, what is actually being said here? That the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles, will happen. And they will be sent to Israel. God will use, He will come out of Zion, meaning through these people, unto Israel, unto Jacob, and convert them to Israel. And all of those who are halting, He'll make a remnant. Now you see this being fulfilled in Revelation, starting in chapter 10, at the end of that chapter. Let me show you. Verse 8, Revelation 10:8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the messenger, which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. And we will get into this book. Right now, let's just make the point that he is sending the Gentile to the Jew. And I went to the angel and said, give me the little book. And he said, receive it. Eat it. It'll make your belly bitter, but it shall be in your mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the messenger's hand and ate it up. It was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Now, why does he say again? Because in Revelation 8 and 9, there is the sounding of the trumpets. And then you come to 10, and he says, eat the book, you've got to prophesy again. And then it continues to 11. Now, read this closely. Revelation 11:1. There was given me a reed. It was like a message of correction. It was like a rod. A reed actually can blow in the wind. It's easy. And you could say that message would be God's love for you. But it becomes a rod, a message of correction to people who don't know that truth. And the messenger stood and he said, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and then that worship in it. But the court, which is outside the temple, leave out and don't measure it. For it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So if you're not going to take this message to the Gentiles, you're going to take it to the Jew. And this is what you begin to see happen in Revelation 11. So what are we seeing in Revelation? It's a fulfillment that the Gentiles receive the truth. And as Paul states it in Romans 11, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come, God will send them to the Jew. And he quotes Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. Revelation bears that out exactly. Exactly what Paul is talking about as he quotes Isaiah 59. What does he mean, the fullness of the Gentiles? We're going to get into that in another study. This whole thing we're reading in Revelation 17 needs to be filled in so that we can continue to grasp what's happening. That you see at the end of chapter 10, you've got to go prophesy again, then chapter 11. Just don't go to the Gentiles. They're trampling underfoot the holy city. Remember, we talked about that. I create in you a spirit. I'm going to give you a new heaven and new earth. Behold, I create Jerusalem, Isaiah 65. Jerusalem is a city, is a symbol of the Spirit of God. And they are trampling underfoot. The Gentiles have heard the trumpets, and they're trampling underfoot the truth that they were given. Now go to the Jew. So, I'm just simply trying to lay a foundation that will help us as we get into the book of Revelation and the coloring it in, filling in the holes, understanding exactly the gospel, the message that is being given to the Gentiles. What is in that message of the trumpets? What does that consist of? Trumpeting the truth. And then having a person who pours out the vials come to John to explain, starting in Revelation chapter 17. See, if the Jews get the message from the Gentiles, and then Gentiles, after having heard it, refuse it. So the church has gone to the Gentile, now they go to the Jew. That means the last group to be given the truth and receive it will be Jews. And it is the Jew who will pour out the message for the last time to the world. Those who are first will be last. And the last will be first. They will pour out their message to the world. That message is described by God as vials being poured out. And it is a messenger who poured out the vials, who came in vision to John to give him the explanation of Revelation 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Now think about it. That man who poured out the vials did not even exist when John was there, but John could see him in vision. God could show him the end from the beginning. God can do that. And he gave him a vision of one of the people who would pour out the seven last vials. The seven last plagues, if you will. They're blessings unless you reject the truth and it becomes a plague. And all of these things are spiritual symbols and truths of what happens when the truth is given and when the truth is rejected. And God has painted, again, a most beautiful description of what happens at the end. Zion receives the truth. Zion is the church. When the Gentiles have reached their fullness, he sends them to the Jew, fulfilling Isaiah 59, 20 and 21. And eat the book. Go give the message again. Just don't go to the Gentile. Well, that only leaves the Jew. Again, what you're reading in Revelation fits perfectly, of course, with all the other prophecies through the Bible. Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth and your love and your grace and your mercy. And please help us get this straight, get this down. Let this become a reality that we are a part of the last day church. We are living in the end time and you are revealing your truth. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.